Yo.
Tell me when.
Just go, I'll cut out the beginning. It started like 10 seconds ago.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We're talking golf, the Sony Open. I can't even believe the calendar is finally flipped here. I'm your host with, I guess, the Teeing It Up podcast again. It's like year, what, four with my co-host, Sam Sherman. I'm used to Ben on the NFL pods, and we miss golf. I mean, the fall swing season is fun. We don't really do too much media. We have some, obviously, content from Sam. We have the projections portal. We have at BetKarma now, a pretty cool odds tracker tool. Man, I'm excited, man. I mean, we're going to have fun with these podcasts. Like, this isn't going to be no boring podcast. We'll talk, as we always do, DraftKings stuff. You know, it's early in the season. There's not too much data and stats to talk about. We'll interject that more as the year goes on. You know, we're going to talk props, and we're definitely talking betting, because that is where we make a lot of money in the golf markets. And I feel like every year, Sam, you and I, we grab a few more stragglers from these other Discord channels that we have. Mm-hmm. Shout out to dfskarma.com. You can access any of our content, any sport. You can talk to us in all these Discord channels. But we get stragglers every year, and I feel like our golf product continues to grow. It's pretty crazy because, you know, frankly, I feel like we don't market it enough. We need to do a better job. But, yeah, hey, man, like, we're back, right? Like, I know you're excited. We were just talking about it before we started. There is an edge in golf. Why don't you talk about your excitement, Sam, like me, but then talk about the edge a little bit. You know, I mean, I touched on it, but what do you think as far as the edge? And you can talk about props and betting as well, but also DFS relative to the saturated NFL markets or NBA markets.
I would say the two things. Number one, my year's off to a really solid start in that I gave out like to seven people and put on my Twitter picks that Cam Smith is going to win, and then I didn't bet him. So I hope everyone
standard.
Else. Just ridiculous. Right? But yeah, I think, I mean, we talked about this a little bit pre-pod. I mean, golf is just so different, and that, and maybe, I mean, this is maybe a more of a narrative thing for me, but with how volatile just the game is, in that, what I mean is that, okay, Rahm is like absolutely the best player in the world. He's a serious problem. He might win 100 times, but there might be a random tournament that he just misses the cut for absolutely no reason. So like you should always embrace, because golf is just so random. So I wrote this in my article that's out already, and it's not that I like dislike someone, but like take this week, for instance, like Webb is a great play and everything like that. But if he's going to be 25% owned, that like always warrants a fade. Like, is there a 25% chance he's going to be in the off-the lineup? No. So it's like that I think is the biggest edge. And then the other edge is, you're better at this than me. I mean, I don't know how many books you use or something, but people talk about line shopping, but in golf, it might be the biggest discrepancy by far. Like, I was going to go bet someone a couple hours ago, and I think it was like DK had him at like 66, FanDuel had him at like 90. Someone else had him like 80.
Oh my God, FanDuel.
Yeah, it's classic FanDuel. Yeah, so it's just kind of like, you just got to be able to, if you want to really, and it just, you don't need that many wins or at all to be a really profitable. And that's what I think people, it's hard to grasp, but you can win twice during the golf year and be way up. And NFL season, I mean, you'd hit a lot because the odds are lower. But,
and the key is, you know, again, I feel like these first couple podcasts might be more game theory for you guys watching. You know, if you want to fast forward to the picks, just fast forward a few minutes. It's no big deal. We'll get to your favorite picks. We'll get to the DraftKings plays. But again, there's not as much data and stuff to talk about. Like, that's a big part of what we do. But I think it's important, the first few podcasts of the year. And shout out to a couple guys. Like, you know, as we continue to grow both our brands at Bet Karma and DFS Karma, you know, we do need a little bit more bandwidth, and we have a couple guys that I'm excited to kind of interject and mix in with the podcast, not only to help Sam, but myself. You know, you guys, some of you know, some of you may not know, but I have a little baby girl on the way, and dude, Sam, it's coming quickly. I mean, 4 to 5 weeks. So my life's definitely going to change. It's already starting.
You're
going to
be,
you know, I'm not going to lie.
You're going to be so overwhelmed. Like, you're going to be so.
It's going to be, I know. It's going to be, I'm trying to take this like last gasp of air, you know, it's my first
kid. I can tell you're trying to play it off like you absolutely care and it's a big deal.
Trying
to play it off like it's not gonna be a problem, but
it's gonna be a problem. I mean, that's why I'm kind of setting the dominoes where we need a few bodies. So if you guys see me kind of MIA in later February and March for a little bit, believe me, I will be back for the Masters. That's a guarantee. But you know, I have a kid coming, but we have a couple guys. Blake's been in our Discord for a while. man, he grinds all the sports, and he's passionate with golf, and I love that. And he's got a personality, so he'll join us on occasion. And then
He's good at trouncing me too. Last year when I won 30 grand, he came in on top of me with like a 40 grand win.
Just casually over the top there. But we actually have, which I'm excited to announce. He goes by Bernie in Discord, but I believe Bernie's his last name. Chris is his first name. He's going to join us as well on the podcast rotation. But I'm actually super excited to hear him on these shows a little bit, because he's actually a professional golfer, just at a, you know, your standard typical clubhouse. So he's got golf in his DNA, right? So I'm excited to hear that side of the coin. I think he's been playing DFS and betting on golf for a few years now. But to hear his perspective, I think is going to be very helpful to all of us, you know, whether it's Sam, myself, or the listeners. So we got that coming out. Game theory-wise, to kind of start getting into the podcast, you know, like you mentioned, Webb Simpson, 25%. You and I always have these debates about whatever the four or five guys are up top, like right now. I'm looking at Cam Smith up top at 11-2 at DraftKings. Shout out to the projections portal that Sam, yourself, actually run for us. And that's what I'm looking at. I don't know if on this podcast it's actually showcasing for you guys. We'll try and get it up on future podcasts in the background. But this is a premium product now. We have this for all of our sports. Shows projected points, of course, ownership stuff, top 20 odds, top 5 odds, win percentage odds. And, of course, I tell all our people, all our customers, the value section is exactly, if you want one column to study the value section in all of our Karma sports. Okay. You're going to make good lineups if you just stick to who's popping on the big bright orange colors. Right. So, and we'll talk about that as the year goes on, but yeah, to your point, I hear you on the web thing. You know, if you're making one lineup, I have no problem with playing chalk guys up top and then getting different elsewhere. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's avoiding the 25% owned 7,200 Joe Blow of the week. That's exactly the chalk. You cannot play that chalk. I think it's okay, any of these guys up top, because every week, man, the one thing I realize is all these guys are going to be 18% owned up top. They just always are, unless it's a really weird week. So I wouldn't overthink that too much. Last thing before we straight up.
You're missing the you're just missing the, you know, elf in the room, is that Cam Smith is tired.
Oh yeah, he's very tired. He's it pisses me off too, because you kept talking about it and I wanted to bet him, but I just wasn't really into it yet. And I actually won't even be this week. I only made a couple bets, and I looked at Cam's number when you were kind of chirping about him, and I didn't pull the trigger. And I knew it too. I mean, Aussies play well at these courses in Hawaii. But yeah, you're right, it's funny. He's gonna be tired. But I think there's a lot of dumb money in DFS golf right now the first couple weeks. Because NFL just ended, I think people are going to actually chase, though. I think Cam Smith, ironically, will be higher owned this week. And frankly, he was really hot with the putter. I mean, you might have all the stats, Sam, but I saw the quick data on the Twitter machine saying that he was draining all the putts, whatever. So let's kind of get into it a little bit. With that being said, we talked projections portal. Sam's got his main content piece. Steven, actually, at Bet Karma, has a weekly betting piece. Again, that's free content. Sam's is free content. The projections portal is a premium product that has ownership numbers and a lot of other things. Okay, so let's dive into it. Top five guys, Sam. This is how we like to start our podcast. Kind of 10,000 and above. Leishman, Sungjae, Webb, Hideki, Cam Smith. If you're making one lineup, who are you starting with? And if you're making one main tournament roster, who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, it's Webb. I know I just talk on both sides of my mouth because I just said he was always worthy of a fade. But it is true, though. Like, I actually put this in Monaco specific because I'm trying to – I changed up the format if people read it before, because I always am wanting to change it and keep it interesting and fresh. But Webb, it's like there are these three or four courses where just, like, okay, anything can happen, but he just dominates. It's this one. It's the Wyndham, which is a Corelate course. It is the RSM Classic, which is a Corelate course. It's like he just – these par 70 on Bermuda is literally Webb Simpson. Now that I said that, he could choke, whatever. He's coming off a year, I thought, last year, which was weird. He was kind of hurt. There was COVID stuff. It wasn't that great for him. And Webb is just so good that I have no problem eating the chalk here and differentiating elsewhere because, you know –
I mean,
I think this week
it's ridiculous. His course history here,
yeah, it's absurd. So, I just don't think it's worthy to get. I mean, I get a fade in tournaments. I mean, I'm not going to lock button him, but I mean, if I was playing 20, 150 line or something, I would probably try to go like 40% web to get over the field, but I don't think you could double it. But that's who I'm going with. I'm not overthinking it. I mean, I get Sung Jae, but no. Hideki is the actual leverage play. I'm just not sure if I'll get
he there, is.
But it'll be web for me.
Hideki's the leverage play, no question. That's who I was gonna say. So you stole my thunder there. That's fine. We crossed that bridge. I like that. It's leverage. Web, man. If you just look at his, and you know what? I'm not shouting out to him. And again, this is why we are going to have fun like we always do on the golf podcast, right? Fuck the course history people that want to talk shit that it's not a thing. It is a thing. And if it's a thing in my eyes, it's a thing. I don't know, Sam. I don't think you're as much as course history guy.
I think it is overused, but it also you can't just fully write it off.
Correct. Like, but people kind like of have come off that bandwagon, though. I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric around the industry that, you know, has kind of poisoned the think tank a little bit, kind of getting people to think otherwise, you know, and it's really hard to overlook his course history. I'm just looking right now, 20th place, 13, 13, 13, 4, 3, 4. It's ridiculous. I do wonder. I feel like he generally, though, is in Hawaii the week prior. I'm curious on that. I mean, you don't have to look that up, but I feel like he's usually playing in the tournament of champions. That is the one maybe little caveat here.
Week is interesting because people will absolutely overrate and as well as underrate kind of the 1 week of performance we have. I mean, you have to go off something, but you know, it's a perfect example is, I mean, I guess I'll just kind of transition right into it. I mean, Abraham Ancer last week played horrendous, but as I noted in my article, that is like the absolute course not for him. It is long. Yeah. Like, he doesn't hit the ball far. Like, it's his first tournament back in a while, like a lot of these other guys. Like, this is way more of an Ancer course than last week. And so I really hope people see that he sucked last week and are like, no, I'm off, because I'm all in on Ancer again.
That's interesting. I was thinking about him. He's a guy I put a little blurb in our Discord chat about a week ago before golf started, just on a bunch of guys that I'm going overweight on this entire calendar year. And then maybe some guys that I'm maybe a little bit underweight. And I brought up Ancer that I feel like you and I were playing him so early on when he was in the 6K range and a low 7K range. And then the thing is, Sam, you and I, we get exposed to these guys and we buy their stock when they're low. And then we tend to like not want to buy their stock price when it gets to a certain level. That's how I feel sometimes. And I feel like I've gotten hurt by not playing Ancer enough, like last year in 2021. And it pisses me off because I was on him for so long. So he's going to be the Hideki in this range, to your point. He will be lower owned. It's not like he's going to be under. It's not like he's going to be not owned, but he's going to be the leverage play, which goes right into Corey Connors, will be chalk. And I love him. He's the one guy that I don't care. I mean,
I'll never fade him. I don't care. I don't even care if it's just a negative EV play. I'll still play him.
I mean, Corey Connors is just, he's the guy. Like, he's the guy. Like, get hot with the putter, dude. You're going to win multiple tournaments.
Anthony, after we're done here, go read my article about his putting splits literally at this course compared to everywhere else. Two of the best putting performances of his career have been at this course.
He will be mega chalk, and that's okay, right? Like, you know, he's going to be 35% owned, if not more, in cash games. I kind of forget how cash games are. It feels like a long time.
Yeah, it's not NFL where you have the 98%.
Yes, exactly. There's an edge. Yeah. There's an edge. If you're listening, if you're playing, you have to play year after year. And if you haven't been, that's okay. Just listen to all our podcasts. Check the content out. The Final Thoughts is amazing. I mean, that really helps us. And check out the projections portal. Like, we do the work for you guys. You know, you can become quickly good DFS golf players. Yeah, so Corey Connors, every week almost for me. I just don't care what form he's in. I think the price is fair. Let's continue to move on. Is Taylor Gooch going to be really popular? Yeah, I think he is. I like him.
I may bet him and maybe fade him. DraftKings. I mean, so I missed a good number. I mean, I don't know. It feels weird to bet him at 25-1 is what DK has him at. I mean, but like, people are finally seeing that he's a stud and he'd won a couple tournaments ago. By the way, sorry, before we move on, just quickly skipped over. I absolutely will not play Mark Leishman if he's going to be 20%. That is like the easiest fade of all time.
Like, I love how you and I both already glanced over him. Like, we've done this so long. Nope, not doing it.
I said it in Discord to someone. I was like, I don't dislike Leishman. Form is good. Everything's good. I'm not betting Mark Leishman at 16-1. I'm just
well that and this. Yeah, exactly. It's $10,000 in DraftKings. Nope. All these other guys. That's why the I love these type of like tournaments where the stars aren't there, because the true grinders like us, we have the upper hand. We just do. It's the reality. Let's keep going down here.
Are you playing a mega chalk Russell Henley?
So I was gonna bring him up. I mean, shout out to you, because this guy's been like your cover boy more than anybody in the industry in the last fucking 2 years. And like, yeah, I want to, but I didn't realize that he's going to be mega chalk. I get
he's
it.
Mispriced.
He is mispriced. He's for this field. Again, Russell Henley equals Mark Leishman, to your point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
In cash games, I always say like, it's never worth eating the chalk. I'm fine in cash games. Again, Russell Henley, I like, but I mean, dude, 22% owned Russell Henley. When's the last time he won one of his Shell Houston Open wins? Like, I don't know.
He never really, I feel like his chalk weeks though, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I think he's a great play. It's going to be hard for me to fade him. So what I like to do for those that are newer or re-listening, whatever, Sam and I were talking right before the podcast. For a number of years, I've always been a three max entry guy for a lot of DFS sports, especially NFL, just because there's like more time throughout the week. I mean, golf, I've kind of transitioned to one main lineup, you know, sink or swim. And then I use the optimizer on our site. And, you know, to Sam's point, I mean, maybe I shouldn't regurgitate the word easy. It could come off the wrong way, but functionally, it's very easy to build, you know, 20 lineups, 100 lineups, and have fun with it, right? You know, I feel like the machine learning algorithms, like, yeah, you mess with a couple tools, you know, on the actual site. It's super easy. If you've never used it, give it a shot. Literally takes, I'm not exaggerating, 15 seconds to make 150 lineups. If you only want to make 20 lineups, play the 20 max entry every week and run the simulator. I mean, you're probably going to always bring back 35 to 40% of your money. You accidentally will cash, like I said, a third of your entry. So you don't really ever lose. You do, but you don't. Let's keep moving on.
Can I mention the guy that you're going to talk about?
I'm not talking about Jason Kokrak. You just fucked me one.
No. Oh, no, I'm going back to Kokrak. Charles Howell III, course history, we talk about that.
I know.
I'm not going to play him. His last 10 starts, 19th, 12th, 12th, 8th, 32nd, 8th, 13th, 26th, 8th, 3rd, 2nd.
Okay. Yeah. So
here's my thing with always Charles Howell, though. What is his upside? Yeah. What is his upside?
Yeah, but you know what, man? I feel like even you and I overthink that at times. Like, we can always get better. And in full disclosure, Charles Howell's in my dummy lineup right now. That doesn't mean I'm going to fully go all in on him, but I recognize what you're putting down. It's $8,000. I mean, in this field.
In this experiment, that's kind of like how hilariously Matt Jones is $8,400.
I mean,
get the hell out of here with that.
Charles Howell, to your point, doesn't have mega upside, but he's probably going to come top 20. Like, okay. It's almost like.
But it's like how we used to have with Kuchar, who it's like, okay, Charles Howell at 71, totally like that top 20, great. Maybe gets to the top 10 if he has a good putting day. But like 8,000, like I would prefer if my guys in this range have some winning upside. That's why I'm playing some Matt McNeely. He'll burn me. I always play.
I know, me too. I tailor you on him, and I don't think I've ever won anything with him.
I'm going to bet him.
He's got mega upside.
He does. The only reason I think CH3 is interesting is only because, so in this kind of range, like the low eights, high sevens, you know, you have McNeely, I think, will get ownership. Seamus Power is going to be very popular. I will note that I will take credit for starting the bandwagon on him.
You did.
Brendan Steele will be popular. So it's like CH3 might not be heavily, heavily owned, but it's more like, when I talk about embracing variance, like I would rather take my shot in this hypothetical scenario in tournaments of like EVR or Cam Davis to like backdoor a top 10 or higher than CH3. But I'm like, is he going to win? Like, no chance.
I've had a lot of painful EVR moments throughout my career.
Yeah, you always I mean, play him. I don't, you just like playing. I don't know why.
Yeah, he historically has a little bit more of a higher ceiling, and people think, hey, I got a question for you. Well, number one, on the projections portal, if you guys aren't looking or watching, seriously, check it out. The Karma Value really likes Charles Howell. It also likes Seamus Power III. So, excuse me, Seamus Power, I'm looking at Charles Howell III. Let me ask you a question. I'm not really looking into data right now, and because it's been a while, like, this stuff's not engraved in my brain. Same as Power. I mean, isn't he a bomber?
That's
isn't
so
he a
funny.
Bomb and Gods guy? Or is he
no, not? That's so funny. Pat Mayo made that joke on his podcast once. He's like, people think that Seamus Power hits it far because his last name is Power.
Yeah, yeah. That's all
so
I needed
true.
To know.
I do,
that's
too. All I needed to know. But he's not like a short hitter. He just doesn't, like, he's not like a Cam Davis.
So then to your point, he's going to be the guy that's owned and Charles Howell will not be owned.
Yeah, I mean, I have Charles Howell right now at like 10%. I assume it'll be in the 10 or 12, which is not like mega chalk.
Yeah,
let's talk about your boy who you mentioned pre-pod. I won't steal him from you. It's 77.
Who's that? Oh, Siwoo. Okay. Let me talk about Siwoo real quick. This is, again, we're not really talking too much stats and data. It's just so early in the year for that. Sam can. I mean, he knows it better than me. I just have this thing with Siwoo. When people don't play him, that's when I tend to. If Siwoo is owned, don't play him. It's
fade,
like,
fade,
yes.
Fade. Yeah.
Automatic fade. But, and again, in a field like this, you talk about up. Who? First off, I don't even know who Aaron Roy is in 7,700.
Oh, no, he's good. No, he's
is
good.
He?
He's
I mean,
except,
I like
he wears two except he wears two gloves. That's not
true. I mean, Christian Bezhazen, who Ryan Palmer, Christian.
Whoa,
Kirk,
whoa, you're skipping over the goat. Whoa.
I know you like him. But yes, Siwoo can win this tournament, no question.
Absolutely.
At lower ownership, I might add.
He ranks seventh for my course comps. I mean, think about it. A good comp is Wyndham, who plays well there. Webb, who's won there.
Yeah.
Siwoo Kim. So it's like, you basically bring your check, dude. The thing with Bez is that he is, like, not the most exciting player. He missed the cut at the Houston Open, like, 2 months ago, and it was his first missed cut since October 2020. Get the hell out of here.
For some
that
reason, I only play him, like, when it's, like,
you
weather
the majors.
Or the majors.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Think, yeah, exactly.
He's,
it's because
he's a grinder. Well, like, I mean, I don't know.
No, he's like, okay, think about the type of player who, like, succeeds here, right? You have – so – Webb is not the longest hitter, but hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens, makes a lot of putts. That's literally what Christian Bezhazenhout does.
That's
like
true.
He literally hits the fairway. He's an elite dude. He gains almost a stroke on the field per round in Bermuda greens. That's crazy. But anyway,
it's a good stat. I mean,
I think
definitely.
He's interesting.
If I run out the optimizer for 20 lineups, 100 lineups, I will definitely put him in there for you.
I don't
talk
know
about
why.
Joel Dahman. I don't want to talk about
yeah,
him. Talk
so
about
this is a great example. So also classic last week, he cost me a couple grand by like making a triple without a lost ball on a fucking par five.
By the way,
but
I came in like literally last place last week in like all my tournaments. It was so funny, but I digress.
Impressive. I cashed pretty easily. This is a good example of he looks good, but dude, in 18 to 20% Joel Dahman at 76, like that
oh,
is just a
no
red. That's
way.
Like red ink. That's like red ink just right through it. Like, no way.
So I wanted to troll you about Joel Dahman, though, real quick. Again, I want to keep talking game theory. There are these next few podcasts here. Joel Dahman is kind of like when you and I just did the Sunday NFL podcast, what we did. And I said, you know what, man? Like, with my main lineup, at least, had nothing to do with my 20 max build stuff. I wanted a chance to win something. I wanted to come in top 5%. I think I said those exact words. Like, I didn't want to min cash, and I didn't want to barely miss cash. I wanted to come in the bottom 5% on the top five. I lucked out. I got the top 5%. But it's in situations like this. It's like avoiding the Joel Dahmans. Like, I do think he's a good play, I guess. But I don't know. Like, I'd rather have a chalkier Russell Henley or a chalkier Webb Simpson.
Yeah.
And then as you
no,
go
dude,
down the ladder, get a lower owned guy.
Think about this. This is how I think about it. Is if I'm, like, just random guy making a lineup or something or cash, they're going to go, like, Connors, Henley, Joel Dahman. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I know not to ever do that. But it's like Joel Dahman. So he's been playing well and everything. He does not rate out well in my course comps. Yeah, he's played well on the coastal courses and everything like that. But the problem is he does a lot of his damage in like super weak fields. Not this field is like loaded, but it's not like that. It's not like brutal. It's just not stacked. So I don't know. I mean, my thing is always it's a matter of, is it cheap chalk that everyone's gravitating to? Because in golf, that's stupid. But it's like, okay, Joel Dahman at 76, who like has probably higher cut equity but like, is he really going to win? Probably not. It's like, I would rather take a chance on capturing lightning at a bottle with Domin. Keith Mitchell, Siwoo. Like, dude, yeah, Siwoo Kim is $100 more.
He's right there. Wait, I mean, it's talking to us. Siwoo is just like, yo, bro, I can win. Joel Domin can't win. It comes down to that. Like, do we want to have a top five percentile cat, especially early in the season? Like, I think you and I are like a lot of DFS players out there. Like, you and I will, we probably prefer to grind more as the season goes on, maybe enter some more cash stuff. But like right now, I just want to win or like come in last place like I did last week, to be quite honest. I will say, not to contradict the data that even you helped make, Russell Henley's our number one karma value play of the week. Number three is Joel Domin. He's a good play on paper. We're not, Sam and I, by the way, are not arguing that. Just FYI.
He is.
He's a great math data play. But you got to take stands at times. And I do think he's – I'm not arguing. He's going to be heavily owned in cash games. But like Sam said
– my problem is also – I mean, like, I'm not – I mean, my problem is also – I mean, again, I said not to overrate it. But, like, last week, if you look at his stuff, like, Domin kind of played like shit. Like, he just kind of like
– yeah, he didn't play that great.
No.
Especially on Sunday.
And also, he made sure to really screw me on Sunday. I mean, I hate that Tom Hoagie, who I call Hoj, I hate that he's going to be popular. I'm probably not going to.
I know. Why does he always get ownership? Like, he was in my dummy lineup.
Darling. He's a stat darling. So
dude, Keith Mitchell's here at 5% ownership?
Yeah. So Keith Mitchell's someone I always play. He burns me every – like, dude – the amount of times I've had a lineup of five or six with like five guys in the top 20 and Keith Mitchell shot 48, like it's oh my god, it's so bad.
Okay, I'm laughing because I see just see a couple guys as we move down the list.
No, I'm not.
Just talking about Brian Harman. I don't even want to hear about this guy. He's so low owned. This is a Brian Harman course. And by the way, so for Brendan Todd, they're at the same price. Talk about both those guys because just last year, Brian Harman and Brendan Todd, well, more or less Brian Harman, were owned every week. And it boggled my mind. I faded him every week, and I got burned. I think that's why I had a bad season is because I faded Brian Harman like every single week.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, Harman has played here like the last 10 years. He plays a lot. He's had good finishes, but he like – I don't know what happens. I was playing him a lot too, and everyone's like, oh, my God, why is Brian Harman like 8,800 and like coming in the top 10? But he, I feel like, has been lost or just sucking for quite a while. Brendan Todd –
Yeah, but you know, you could see these courses are like perfect for these two guys.
Oh, are you kidding me? One of the best course comps is the Bermuda Championship, which Brendan Todd won. It's like, I get it.
This course is so.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned someone at 7,400.
I'm not talking about Keegan. I'm not playing Keegan Bradley day one. Are you kidding me, dude? I mean, when I saw him there.
Okay, so we're saying based on DK pricing that he is. So what we're saying by DK pricing is Brendan Todd is better than him and Tom Hoagie. Get out, dude.
See, Keegan Bradley had an amazing last couple of years, but he really tailed off at the end last year. And it's funny because he actually does have win equity upside, as we know. But like, there's so many guys in this field that don't. But this course really fits Keegan. I don't think he actually has a good history. I don't know if you have that in front of me. I'm pretty sure.
It doesn't. Fine.
Not that it matters. Keegan's fine. He gets a great tournament play, like one of the best in this field. I mean, the fact that he's going 5%.
And his course history is so Keegan. He has like three top 15s, like three missed cuts. It's so Keegan.
Asked me that, I was talking from the, hey, my main lineup. I am not playing Keegan in like week two. To me, this is almost like week one because last week there was 30 guys or something in the field. It didn't even seem normal. Like my lineup was crushing, but I was like in dead last. That didn't even make sense.
Are you playing? I hate that he's coming chalky. Are you playing Danny McCarthy?
No, absolutely not. I saw you write him up.
I mean, yeah.
This is what we talked about to start the podcast. Like, once you get down to the low 7K range in any single week this entire season, including the majors, I don't care if Ricky Fowler is $7,200 at the Masters. You can't play these guys that are 25% owned in this price point. You can get away with it up top, but you just can't. And you know what? If you don't play them and they go off, then you fucking lost that week. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, in 20 max entry, 100, you're going to probably have exposure to those guys. I get it. But, yeah, I mean, there's no way. I did see you write him up. I know he's going to be owned. But when I saw that, that was, like, conviction that I needed to say, like, okay, so everybody's playing him. theoretically around that price point. I will definitely try to find a guy. And I did think about Keegan, but I don't want to get so upset week one in Discord. I don't want to be like bitching, moaning, and screaming about Keegan. I'd rather do it about somebody else. I know better, okay?
Yeah.
I know better. And there's another guy. I think just talk about him. 7,300 is the same guy. We even have an emoji in Discord for him.
Oh, I'm not playing Grio. There's zero.
It's another guy. But this course, he could easily top 10 here. He could.
Why would I play Grio when I can play the GOAT Brian Stewart at 72?
Yeah, I know. You love Brian Stewart. You write that guy. You write up about him more than anybody I know.
Because, like, he does so little, but he doesn't even need to do that much. Like, he doesn't, like, let you down that often because he needs to do so little. Actually, the guy we skipped over, I kind of want to suck. I play – talk about a guy who has, like, super boomer bust, like, all the time is Adam Long at 7,300. Adam Long will, like, miss 9 cuts in a row and then come, like, third. He, like, can get super hot. He has a really good short game. He just hasn't, I don't know. It's tough. His course history is kind of, I think he's interesting pivot off McCarthy.
Hey, dude, we didn't talk about Kuchar, FYI.
I meant to. Kuchar, I highlighted him. I put him on player pool. I mean,
I could see a bounce back here from Kuchar, man. I really could. I'm not talking about this. I know, but he started playing well in the fall, and I heard some interviews that I think he had some health issues last year physically. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But I'm a little nervous fading Kuchar.
No, I mean, he's a weird one where, like, so I have, see, he's played this 7 out of the last 10 years. He went 5th, 8th, 3rd, 13th, 1st, and then has missed his last 2 cuts. It's, like, super random. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's fine. Again, so, okay, we talked about CH3. Kuchar's being a little less cheap or a little cheaper, I think, makes me a little more interested.
Yeah, they're probably the same player, actually.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, damn, Keith Mitchell has 3 top 25s. Yeah, I mean, Kuchar. Okay, here's a good example, though. You talk about, like, playing a main lineup. Would you put Kuchar in your main lineup? I would never, because he doesn't have the upside. At least at this point in his career, I don't think he has the upside.
I feel like this might be the week, though, early on, where we get him lower owned, though. I don't think he's going to be as popular as we think, because Domin's right there at 7,600. I think people will do end up playing, like, the freaking – yeah, McCarthy's there. There's, like I said, there's a triage of
right apartment. Yeah, he's right in the
He's
middle.
Just right he's there. Cool. Like, people are just kind of overlooking him. You know how they do it in DF. There's 150 guys. Why are 162 guys in golf tournaments? Like, there's just so many dudes. You know, we didn't even talk about, like, Stuart Sink's down here. He's almost like Kuchar, but probably in better form. And he played last week. I'm guessing Sink will be owned because he
Sink
played
is
last
such
week. But
a goat. It's
he just doesn't die. I mean, Sink's just having fun. His son's on the bag. And in fact, I mean, Sink has never missed a cut here. I think Sink's
Stuart
a really
Sink.
Good play this
Stuart
week,
Sink
to be honest.
Really, like, outdrives, like, most people on tour. Just FYI. People.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sink's like, do you care about that this week? Because I know you're all
no.
in on
it's the like short the most thing. It's like the most irrelevant.
But he plays well here, though. You know, that's why you can't always.
Yeah.
I know. I'm guilty of it, too. You know, for the non-bomber courses, I can't tell you how many times I kick myself for not playing bombers, and they play well. I mean, Stuart Sink has never missed a cut here.
If anyone wants a free play, I always play Russell Knox, but I will not be playing him this week. So
I know. We played him a lot in our career.
Dude,
he's a good player this
underrated.
Week, though.
He's an underrated horrific putter. Like, people talk about
I just
a lot of
don't
bad putters.
Want to. He's almost like a Keegan in a way, in a Grio. Like, I'll take that pain later in the year. It's like a stock. I'll buy it when the FOMO's ripping, and then of course I will get bit in the ass. So I do think he's a good play this week. Karma Value likes him a decent amount, but I'm not probably going to play him in my main lineup. But I will have exposure to him in 20 max.
As we get lower. I like a bunch of these guys who are semi-new to probably a lot of the casuals, but
yeah, talk about these guys. Smalley.
Yeah, so Chad Ramey, I like a lot. He's great, great guy. We'll be riding him for a while because he's a great ball striker, horrible putter. Alex Smalley, I like a lot. I'm probably gonna bet him top 20. He's in some good form. He just hits so many greens, which is, like, exactly what you do here. And then at 69, Max McGreevy, sick name. He is someone I kind of get interesting because I was actually hilariously going to write up Scott Piercy, but he withdrew. So that's no longer. But Max McGreevy is super young. And a lot of these guys, the reason I like them is not because I have been data diving on them as much as the fact it's because there's such a lack of data on them because they're new and they're coming off the Corn Ferry. People just won't, like, they won't pop in anything. And
yeah,
this is kind of like the time of the year where these younger guys have a chance. And then obviously I played Nick Hardy every week because he's so good. 66.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, again, to kind of, we're really going to quickly summarize the pod because there's so many guys in the 6K range that, like, Sam and I can talk about these guys at nausea. It just doesn't even matter. I mean, yes, there's guys down here. Oh my God, Jerry Kelly's in this field. That's all you need to know. 6K. There's a lot of classic guys that we've talked about over the years, but I highly suggest checking out Sam's content. It's at dfskarma.com, and you can find some of these low hanging fruit. Like, you want to win a tournament this week, you got to play some of the names Sam wrote up in that low owned 6K range. You really do, because nobody's going to play him, especially early in the year before people know who's who. I'm just going through here. I see Substraka. I see some other guys, Hank Loboda, Tyler Duncan. Oh, Lucas Glover is in the field, 6,800. I think he played last week. He must have been awful. There's guys down here that'll be owned. He came in last week.
You just reminded me. Yeah, Lucas Glover won a tournament last year.
He was in last place last week. Standard.
My last guy will say 6,500. Steven Yeager is a Corn Ferry graduate. He's really good. He has a great short game.
It's funny you say that. We should almost end the pod on him, because while you were talking earlier, I was sorting by karma value, and I actually meant to bring that up. I was like, who's Steven Yeager? He's your number two value play of the week in the projections portal. So is he a rookie?
He's a really good short game. I'm pretty sure – I can't remember if it was him, but one of these guys, like, he was literally, like, the last – like, the 25th guy to qualify or something like that. But he's good. Again, I'm not, like – I don't want to get people in my DMs like they sometimes do, where I'm like, oh, I like this guy. It's a 6,500 guy. Well, he didn't.
He's not a rookie. He played last year. He's been here twice, actually. But
yeah, but was he in the Corn Ferry? Maybe he lost his card. Maybe that's
what he must have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to finish up the pod, you know, again, first week, I guess, first main week, anything, you're going to have some bets you'll troll us with, but anybody you like is a value bet. We like to finish our podcast with a good value bet of the week.
Compared to kind of what I've run compared to odds, it's later, but I would say I actually still don't hate the bet on Taylor Gooch. It's not a value. He's on DK's at 25-1, but I like Keith Mitchell at 80-1 and or his top 20 plus 350. And, go ahead.
What do you see in odds for Siwoo? My freaking book is not loading right now. That is my pick of the week.
I'm going to see what he opened at.
I'm guessing he's at like 35-1 or something, probably. Their books are stupid.
I don't know.
Any higher than that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because remember, that people like still think that, like we're saying, he like withdraws. So he opened at 70.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, again, you want a $25 and a dream type of player right there. There you go. If he's 70, 60, 50, Mike, that's an easy value play, right? You want to? I mean, you'd be surprised how many times in golf you guys.
DK Sportsbook right now, he's 50-1.
Okay, that's more the territory I thought he would kind of be. I guess 35-50, but still a good bet. Yeah. I mean, so that's
all my official top 20s and stuff, which I've been doing really well on either tonight or tomorrow. But like, that's kind of where. Like, I have, like, Steven Yeager, I said I like a lot. I mean, I have his odds of top 20, like, almost nearly what Vegas is. So it's like a lot of these guys are trying to find value, and I think he's a really interesting bet.
All right, that does it. Anything else, Sam? First pod in the books. Like I said, we got some other boys joining us this year. Content is always at dfskarma.com, betkarma.com.
I need your bold call.
My bold call of the week. Is let's just stick with it. See, let's get it more fair. Siwoo top 10. How about that? Maybe you can't win, obviously, but top 10. I like that.
Okay. I'll go.
Bye.
I have like who I want to take, and I have my smart take. I said I'm not going back to it, and I'm going back to it. I'm Keith Mitchell top 10.
That is interesting. He's going to be really low owned in DFS. Dude, as we close up, I'm just looking
like him more.
I'm looking at your odds thing right now, and I'm going to take a hard look at Charles Howell this week. He actually might be like a really, really good play. Just it's interesting to see what his ownership will turn out to be.
Dude, he's the same odds on DK as Joel Dahman and Siwoo Kim. Let's find the outlier there.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
All right, good luck, everybody. We will talk to you next week, and we'll go from there. See you.